Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to NBA Draft Day. Should be a historic one here in the city of Memphis. John, Martin, and I out here at the Wing Guru. Hope you'll come out and join us, 7199 Stage Road. We will be here for the entire show.
A lot to get to with Greg Buckner. He'll join us at 1125 here on site. Then at 1225, we'll be joined by Jeff Calkins. Y'all know Jeff Calkins. We'll talk to him about the draft, about some of the best draft memories. Lots to get to with Jeff Calkins. We'll do that at 1225. And then at 125, we're going to be joined on site as well. Is it on site?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by our weekly regular, Anthony Sain. He'll be on site. He covers the Grizzlies for the Memphis Flyer. We'll talk to him. He's been very excited, very adamant about the Grizzlies drafting John Morant. He will get his wish tonight, almost certainly. So we will talk to Anthony Sain on site at 1:25.
He's got another conspiracy theory, I think, for us too.
Has he?
Yeah, something about the Currys. We'll get to that at some point during the segment.
Oh, is that today?
Mm-hmm.
That gets released today. That gets.
Gonna need you to as well to get back on that later on. We're gonna need you to get back on that. Looks like they're coming in. We're gonna need you to get back on that chicken if you can. Remember that video? You were cooking that thing up. You remember the process?
You don't want me in the kitchen. When I worked at Taco Bell, they didn't let me anywhere near the food. It was all cashier, bro.
Because you were spitting in that stuff.
I was not spitting in it, bro.
All right.
I mean, there was a time where I might have wanted to, maybe. But I never did. I kept it above board, sanitary. But anyway, that is the show today. Looking forward to it. They are filing in here today at the Wing.
They're gonna need you back there.
Oh, we can't. We cannot go any further.
I'd say it, man.
We cannot go any further without giving a shout out to our old steed, mm-hmm. The blanket. Bennett Doyle is here with us.
It feels so good. We did a three-man fist bump earlier about this.
Yes, we did. It was like the Avengers, you know, getting back together after
many years.
Felt
a little weird, but it actually felt right.
Yeah. Welcome again, Bennett.
Good to see you.
Well, we reconvened in the place that started it all.
Yes, indeed.
I mean.
You're absolutely right.
What better place than the Wing Guru?
I have been eager to hear your take on this. You loved Mike Conley. He's gone now. Any final words? What would you like to say? I'd love to hear.
Well, I feel like, and I know a lot of people have said this, but I feel like that we've been saying goodbye for a while
now. You're right.
So it doesn't hurt. Because you knew it was coming for a long time.
Kind of happy for him, right?
And I was saying yesterday that kind of the moment that it was honestly at the end of last season when he had the 40-point game, the career high, that was kind of like the goodbye. Yeah. Like that was the feel good. Like it was a meaningless game, but Mike had his career high.
Which you got, which went viral for you, if I'm not mistaken.
It did,
right?
Jason. Mm-hmm. It did. That was a nice tweet for me. Thank you. You can follow me at Bennett Doyle.
Wow. He
can get those back in again.
Yeah, he can. Yeah.
GP, please follow him.
Get them in. All right. So anyway, Bennett, welcome back. Welcome back to
Thanks
the show.
Thanks for having
me. Thanks for being out here.
We love
on
you, bro.
Site at the Wing Guru. Okay. It's draft night. The Grizzlies have the number two pick.
It's exciting. Man.
Yeah, it is exciting. There have been several reports, starting with Mark Berman from the New York Post, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, about the Pelicans and how sort of desperate they are to draft R.J. Barrett, to pair R.J. Barrett with Zion Williamson.
Yep.
And we agreed, like, this, you cannot, if you're the Memphis Grizzlies, give up this pick. Like, no matter what, there is just, short of them being willing to give you Zion, which they're not willing to do, it makes no sense to pass on the opportunity to draft John Morant, who, once again, to me, there's no debate. There's no, no two ways about this. He steps in, and because of what he represents, he becomes the face of the franchise. He becomes the most marketable player the Memphis Grizzlies have ever had. You don't pass that up to draft, Darius Garland or Kobe White.
Well, I just to play devil, what if they throw one of these Lakers young players at you and the chance to draft Darius Garland? Doesn't it depend on how they – I'm just throwing devil's advocate. I'm with you that Ja is clearly the pick, but I'm throwing this at you for discussion. Is it not something you think about if you like Darius Garland?
Yeah.
I think for me, the separation is I love Darius. You know that.
Yeah,
I've watched him for a long time. When I look at Ja – I see potential superstar like many of us do, just like you do. When I look at Darius,
I still have questions. Obviously, I'm as high on him as anybody out there, but I question, what does he get to superstar level? With Jai, I see everything in terms of the athleticism, in terms of the wanting to make guys better, the size. You know, he's De'Aaron Fox, basically, size-wise.
No doubt.
He tells me he can be a superstar. I don't know if Derek – so that's why I don't do it. But, John, if they're throwing some of those young Laker players at you and the four-pick, are you not at least thinking about it?
I mean, you take a call. Of course. But to me, because of the production, like the production that Jai had last year at Murray State, I mean, again, how many times do we have to say it? The only player in the history of college basketball to average 20 and 10 for a season. Like, that has never happened. I don't care where you are.
He's special.
You know, to be able to do that. And it's not like his teammates, by the way, at Murray State were you know, all-conference type players. I mean, he elevated them. You know, and so I think that is something without a shadow of a doubt that translates. You know, the ability to make guys better, get them involved, elevate their play. That is what the Grizzlies need. Like, that is the kind of guy. And then, like, his ability to score as well. Get to the rim. He's going to be able to get to the free throw line. Hopefully the shot will come. Hopefully the perimeter shot will come. You know, we've seen guys develop. Mike Conley did not come into the league as a great three-point shooter.
Right.
By the time he's leaving the Grizzlies 12 seasons later, very consistent from deep. So I just don't think you can pass on a guy who represents such superstardom. Like, Darius Garland might go on to have a really good NBA career, but you just can't know. There's nothing that suggests that other than just his sheer workout, right? Like,
His IQ is through the roof. His basketball IQ is through. Here's my deal, John. I mean, this is the other point to build. It's Memphis. We've talked about this. You only have so many chances. It felt like a couple of years ago lightning would have to strike in terms of Memphis and its ability to attract a superstar talent, right? And we said the only way they're going to do it is if they luck up and hit on it in the draft.
Yep.
With Ja, you feel like all that is there. And, again, you're doing it in a year after. You just have the four pick and you struck gold with Jaren Jackson. There's the opportunity here, we feel like, and we know Mike Schmitz feels the same way over from ESPN, to have two superstar players in Memphis and to have control of them over their rookie contracts. When are you going to have this chance again?
I agree.
I go back. Don't overthink this. I threw that at you so we could go through it, but don't overthink this. Take the simple play because, again, it feels like you've got a superstar right in front of you. You start out thinking of it. You start trying to go another course.
Yep.
You're going to miss the opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Now, you love to throw Trae Young in my face. I was wrong about that one. However, I was much more convicted about De'Aaron Fox.
Well, that was a couple years ago. What have you done for me lately?
I told you Colin Sexton was going to be a bust, and I mean, obviously, like, he has a long career ahead of him probably, but he doesn't look like he's going to be some all-star. Everybody thought he was going to be an all-star. You know, so I am planting my flag down, Jason. I'm doing it. This is my NBA draft flag, and I'm planting it down. Everybody we talk to about Ja Morant pretty much fundamentally agree. Like, everybody says they're picking the over on 3.5 all-star appearances. That would be a record for a Memphis Grizzly player. You know, 3.5 all-star appearances. You know, so I don't think there's a big debate about it. I never really thought there was a big debate about it. And I think the more interesting thing is what happens with number 23.
Yes. You know,
what do they do with the Jazz pick that they acquired yesterday in exchange for Mike Conley? You know, do they
keep it? A lot of ways
it?
You can go there.
Most mock drafts that I've seen as of this morning, I saw Draft Express. I saw Jeff Goodman's mock draft. They have the Grizzlies selecting Keldon Johnson from Kentucky.
Shooter.
Who, you know, exactly. Like, and to me, you know, I don't know what the trade offers would be. I don't know what you could look to get out of that.
Could you put Jay or Korver with something?
Right.
And, you know,
it's possible.
Who knows what you could do with that pick. Yes.
But
you've got options.
I'm always a fan of, especially that late in the draft, selecting a guy who has, like, a very specific skill, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and if his skill is, you know, the ability to shoot, you know, or whatever it is, you know, I'm a fan of taking flyers on guys like Keldon Johnson, who, you know, came into college as a five-star prospect.
6'6", 216, and the biggest knock on him is that he doesn't do much off the dribble. Well, John Morant's going to handle most of that. It's like we talked about it yesterday, saw the breakdown of him. A lot of folks think he's got a similar release to Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. No one's saying he's going to be the shooter Klay Thompson is, but the stroke is similar, and you're looking for a guy to be a spot-up guy in an offense like
this.
Where you're going to be building everything off of Jaren and Ja.
No question.
And so what you're going to need are guys like a Keldon Johnson in the corner that'll knock it down.
It's
what he does. It's his strength.
Yeah, the Grizzlies don't have a guy like that.
It's a knockdown shooter. The Grizzlies don't currently have a guy like that. So, again, if you wanted to go that route 23, I'd be interested to see what you could do with that pick and maybe whether it's Crowder, whether it's Korver, what else you could do in terms of moving off of it and trading it and seeing if you could go up. But the exciting thing is they've got options, and it's more than just at the two, which we don't think is much of an option at all. You take Ja Morant,
yes.
But you've got options now that you didn't have before yesterday. It's exciting.
Blanket, is there any debate for you on Ja Morant? Is there any debate for you on him as the selection and his ability to walk into Memphis as the face of the franchise?
No, and I know that like all the reports are starting. Our old friend Peter Vesey had a report last night.
Yeah, old Vesey
took the world by storm. Yeah. But no, there's. That's who they're taking.
I just imagine him like – I texted this to Jason, but I didn't tweet it. So I think I should still be able to use this since I did not tweet this joke.
Okay.
But I just imagine Peter Vesey taking a nap, waking up in the mid-afternoon, tweeting that, and then rolling back over and also telling you to subscribe to his Patreon.
Harrington made this point. He wasn't the only – somebody in New York was leaking all that stuff to them. Yeah. And it was weird how it all comes out sort of the same report from these New York reporters. But – I didn't put much stock into it, but I did want to. It is something I think you have to take that call, and you. But again,
yeah,
you don't overthink.
You say, no.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no, we're not coming off of Ja Morant. I just think it was funny. Jason Fitz texted me about this yesterday, and from what I gathered from him, he did not like the trade. He did not like the trade at all. Like he actually, Jason Fitz was of the mind that why not. Let Ja learn from Mike Conley for a year. Why not sort of – and the reality of that is, and this is why I told him, Ja doesn't need to learn from Mike Conley. Mm-hmm. Like, Ja just needs to have the ball in his hands early and often.
Yeah, I never bought into that either.
You know, like, that's not – I think those days are gone. Like, it'd be one thing if, the Grizzlies were a contender right now. You know, if they were a competitive playoff
Mike
team.
Mike Conley's got no interest in that either. Like, yeah, come on.
For,
like,
oh, for sure.
You can't do that to him. Hey, you're going to be a mentor for your stop.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of – I mean, for his successor, right?
I mean,
all the guys who would, I think, be willing to do it, Mike probably very high on that list.
Happens if you go into the season with him and he gets hurt?
But that's the real issue.
You understand what I'm saying?
The real issue is his value was as high as it was going to be.
If he goes in the season next year, he gets hurt. And we've talked about it. Look, I know it took Trey Young half a season, right, to get right. But because he had those struggles in the early half of the season, Atlanta clearly a team that gave him the reins early, he was able to shine the second half, so much so that he got into the Rookie of the Year debate, obviously, with Doncic. That is kind of what I foresee for Ja. You throw him in just like De'Aaron. You throw him in early. Yes, he struggles early on. You give it all to him. You take it off Mike. You get Mike up, and that's what we saw yesterday. That's why you make the deal. Give it to him early on. And by the second half of the season, this guy's comfortable, and you're seeing the flashes of the superstar he can be. That's what I think happens.
Yeah, I think this is going to be an amazing night for the Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, this is going to be, the best, potentially the best draft night ever for them. I mean, because they are getting – I'm so bullish on Ja. Like, I just really believe – I don't see a way that he comes into the league and doesn't succeed at a high level.
I've been saying from the day that Memphis got the two pick that they could end up coming out of this with the best player in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, because on Zion, it's like, okay, well, we see the athletic ability, but, like, he can do that. He can kill everybody in college. He can dominate everybody in college just with his sheer size. But what happens when he gets to the NBA where it's about technique and it's about footwork and you can't just get by on brute athleticism, which I'm not saying Zion will or won't. But, I can see a scenario where you look up in 5 years and Ja's, like, dominating the league.
Well, it's the other point that our guest we had on earlier this week, Rashad Phillips, NBA draft analyst, that he made. Usage rate. This ball is going to be in Ja's hands all the time. Zion, we think, could be capable of that, but we don't know yet.
Absolutely.
You understand what I'm saying? So
yep.
Ja is going to have the ball. All those highlights, all that sports center time. This is forget that in terms of best player, but I'm talking about in terms of John's face of the franchise. This guy's going to have the ball in his hands.
He is.
He's going to have it in his hands all the time. He's going to be setting up Jaren on and could go down, I think, coming out of this thing. Again, I like Darius Garland. R.J. Barrett looks like he's going to be a scorer. But in terms of the guy that can raise up a franchise, I think this is the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Aaron Fox, obviously, 2 years ago. I loved him more than Lonzo. Loved him more than Malik Monk. I think Ja is going to be better than De'Aaron Fox. Like, that's how strongly I feel about Ja. I just, that's so I think this will be an amazing night. We'll be out at the Bluff tonight for the official. We're partnering with I Love Memphis and Grizzly Bear Blues for the watch party tonight. So should be pretty lit down there at the Bluff. It certainly was last year, and It's the number two pick in the draft.
Got some locals hoping to hear their name called as well, with Dedrick Lawson, obviously the former Tiger, finished up at Kansas.
That's right.
He hopes to be drafted tonight. I think expects to be drafted tonight, whether it's second round.
It's hard
or
for
else.
Me to see him falling out of the draft completely, mm-hmm. just on his production.
No,
you know,
Jeremiah Martin hoping to hear his name called, whether it is or isn't tonight. We know he's going to get a chance.
Yeah, he will get a summer league.
There's no question about it. And Joe Vick's out there as well. A bunch of Tennessee guys, obviously Jordan Bone and Schofield, Grant Williams, all those guys.
I saw a mock draft from the Ringer that had the Grizzlies taking Grant Williams at number 23, which I'm in favor of if he shoots 40 free throws a game. You know, I'm in favor of that pick if he can get 40 free throw attempts a game.
Well, I sense the sarcasm. You know, I like Grant Williams.
No.
I don't know what he does for you on this team. Is he not a building block?
Nah, bro. I mean, yeah, Grant Williams is like he's kind of caught in the middle. Like, he's like, 6'7". Like, he's a big body in college, and, you know, he got to the free throw line a lot. You know what I mean? Like, if you take that away from his game.
No, that's a good point.
Which he won't.
That was
the
a skill
NBA.
In college, no question.
You know, I don't see any reason why the Grizzlies should take him at number 23.
Give me a shooter.
I'm out on both of those guys, to be honest with you. I like Schofield better than both of those guys, Bone and Grant Williams. I can see Admiral Schofield having a long career in the NBA because as a five utility type dude, like, can play all across the floor, can defend, can shoot a little bit, you know, big body, you know, got his body right. I see him having a better NBA career than both of those guys.
I'm actually higher on Bone than of those guys.
I don't know what Bone does.
The jumper can improve. That's something you can work on. That's the thing is you can sort of – he's not great at any one thing, but he that's a guy who has the work ethic, he's a plus athlete. I just see him having the long career. I really do with an improved shot.
I'm gonna put my stock in Admiral Schofield, but I'm just not a – I don't see Grant Williams translating, but I'm certainly rooting for the Memphis guys for sure. You know, Jeremiah, Dedrick, LeGerald, you know, I think probably the most likely scenario is two of those three guys get on summer league teams. And then, you know, I think if you're in the 50s and 60s, if Dedrick's still there, like, I mean, why would you not take him? I mean, he's just too productive not to.
We're going to see John Moran in summer league?
I don't think so.
He says he's playing.
I saw the story.
He can say he wants to play.
He wants
like to me,
play.
Like Malcolm Dandridge says he's going to be ready for the season.
My point is, do you take a chance if you're that front office?
No.
You don't?
Hell
why,
no.
Why take it, right?
Hell
keep,
no.
Keep the bubble wrap on him.
Yeah. So
as much as I'd love to see him,
right.
And I want to see it, I'd still wait.
And yeah. I think with the summer league this year, you want to see guys that might have a chance to make the roster,
absolutely
get real minutes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
Ja's a huge investment. You don't need him getting summer league reps like that.
I think that's the decision. Like, we've made the decision.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we will talk to Greg Buckner about all of that and more on the other side. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen for the NBA Draft live tonight on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Coverage beginning at 6 p.m.
The Memphis Grizzlies select.
Hammers it home. It's a jaw jam.
Tonight at the Bluff, it's the I Love Memphis SB Nation Grizzly Bear Blues blog. Jason and John 92.9 party at the Bluff on Highland with 92.9 FM ESPN.
You did it again. You waited until Saturday morning to make your weekly trip to the grocery store. Now you have to park a mile away. And are those storm clouds? Yep, it's raining. Did you bring your umbrella? Of course not. But you don't mind. You're all smiles, thanks to Regions. Sure, your groceries might be a little wet, but when you use your Regions Prestige or Premium credit card for your purchase, you're earning rewards points for every dollar you spend. Plus, with the Regions Rewards Multiplier Program, you may earn extra rewards points based on the balances you maintain in your Regions checking account and other deposit accounts. Make grocery shopping on a rainy Saturday more rewarding, even if you did grab the shopping cart with a squeaky wheel. Because we get it. Some things are bigger than banking. Learn how you may earn extra points at regions.com/rewards multiplier. Regions, member FDIC.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face. And there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. Soon, you'll have a separate fridge in the basement where extra groceries are exiled forever. Remember that frozen lasagna? Of course you don't. It's been down there since 2008. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Piece of cake. Behind the lasagna. It's very old. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
When you compare the Humana Gold Plus HMO plan with other plans, there's no comparison. That's because it's Tennessee's only 5 out of 5-star CMS-rated Medicare Advantage HMO plan. The only one. No other Medicare Advantage HMO plan in Tennessee received excellent ratings from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in all 5 categories, including managing chronic conditions, helping members stay healthy, and providing a great member experience. And there's no need to wait. You can switch out of your current plan and enroll in the Humana Gold Plus HMO H4661 anytime you want. Like right now, for instance. Find out why this Humana plan has no comparison. And make the switch by calling a licensed Humana sales agent at 1-800-526-5339 or visiting Humana.com. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO organization with a Medicare contract. Every year, Medicare evaluates plans based on a 5-star rating system. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Jason and John are broadcasting live today from the Wing Guru at 7199 Stage Road in Bartlett till 2 p.m.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Yep, we're out at the Wing Guru until 2 p.m., 7199 Stage Road. And we're joined now by a former NBA player, former Memphis Grizzlies assistant. He's a friend of the show. Greg Buckner's in the building, and he just got his first ever Wing Guru order. What'd you get, man, for the people?
For the people, Nashville Hot. I think I got 10 boneless. You know, I had my people's order for me. So I don't know what my people's got for me.
Just you wait. So knock your socks off.
So, okay, you played for a lot of different NBA teams, mm-hmm. like and including Memphis. Where was the best wings?
Oh, boy. Probably Dallas.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Dallas got so many options, so many places there that you can get good wings. And I spent the most time in Dallas, so I kind of ventured into all those little wing spots. Yeah. So probably Dallas.
I imagine Dallas is probably, from a culinary standpoint, like just because, like you said, all the options. They do everything big there.
You know what I mean? they really do, and everybody's trying to outcompete each other, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So news yesterday. Obviously, let's start there. Mike Conley has been traded to the Utah Jazz. You spent time with him. Mm-hmm. Just in terms of, I mean, 12 seasons with one team. Like, you know how hard that is. It's a very tight fraternity to spend that long with one team. How hard is that to do?
It's almost impossible, to be honest with you. If it's already a slim amount of people to get to make it to the NBA. And if on my hands, just being in, you know, around the NBA for 20-plus years now, 21 years actually, I can only remember, like, Dirk, Kobe, and nobody else I can remember that's been in one place that long. Even LeBron, who was in Cleveland for a while, he still left and came back. Dwayne Wade left and came back. Yep, you know, all those great guys, they leave and come back sometimes, and sometimes they leave forever. But, you know, I have a guy – I think Mike's a leading scorer and leading assist guy, leading steals guy. Yeah, he's the king of Memphis right now when it comes to Grizzly basketball.
No question about it.
Just a shock to see him not being a Grizzly uniform for sure.
What do you think? What do you think of the return of what they got back? What do you think of Grayson Allen? Obviously, the picks will figure all that out. But what do you think of what they got back?
Well, I mean, I think Grayson Allen has a chance to be a good young player. He's a feisty little guy, but I do think the way he plays, meaning he can shoot the ball and he's more athletic than you think. Mm-hmm. I think that's something you got to have in the NBA right now. I think he's going to help. Jay Crowder is a tough kid.
Yeah.
Not sure if they're going to keep him and Kyle Korver around. What's going to happen with them. But, I mean, they got a pick. But to me, it's still Mike Conley. I mean, you give up Mike Conley. You gave up Marc Gasol. You get Valanciunas back, but he's a free agent now. He opted out. So, I mean, you give up two pillars, and we'll see what they get back.
You, let me ask you this. What do you think of, in terms of you knew this. You thought, and you told us every time that you've been on, was that you thought the right move was to keep Mike because of what he represents for this franchise. So, I mean, did you look at yesterday as a mistake from that angle? You would have kept him and paired him with, I'm assuming, Ja, and sort of let him learn from him?
If I was a GM, I would have kept him, but I wouldn't have chose Ja. I would have chose R.J. Barrett.
That's right. You did tell us that.
I think R.J. Barrett has been a superstar his whole life and is going to be a superstar in this league. Not saying Ja's not going to be. I think he has a chance to be a really good player. How can I say that? Not say that. He came to my camp when he was a kid. So I think he has a big upside. But, you know, Mike Conley, I mean, to win in this league, you got to have vets. And Mike Conley's, the ultimate vet. You put R.J. Barrett and J.J. together, and you got a chance to be something really good down the road. But, I mean, I think Jar. I mean, you can't go wrong with either one of them, I don't think, but only time will tell.
What would be your – obviously, point guards, they take some of them take a longer time than others, but they all take time. Mm-hmm. What would be your concerns on Ja? What'd be the first thing you tell him, you're coaching him when he gets here, about his career, about what he's got to do for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would tell every young kid this. I wouldn't just tell him because he's a point guard. I think, point guard right now in the NBA is the hardest position for us defensively because there's so many great point guards right now.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you look at Mike Conley, who's never made an all-star game, but, I mean, he can go for 30 on you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, young guys don't know that, especially in Memphis. If you're not a savant of the basketball game, which a lot of college kids aren't, and they don't know a guy like Mike Conley can come and embarrass you. So, I mean, I tell all young guys, just be ready to know that there's ups and downs. Mm-hmm. You get drafted at the number two pick, you got game. And you have to believe in yourself that you got game, even on those nights when somebody's, like, unexpected. Like, Ish Smith could get 25 on Ja. And then you're like, man, do I belong in this league? And then part of it is, like, you do belong here. They wouldn't have drafted you. Just, stay confident.
Yeah. What was draft night like for Greg Butler?
You're bringing up open wounds.
Oh, really?
Closed wounds, I should say. Somebody called me.
Oh, it was hard?
Yeah, somebody called me from Dallas because they was talking about second-round picks a couple of days ago, and I got drafted in the second round. But a few teams told me they was going to take me in the first round. If I'm available, I'm available. So I was expecting to go in the first round. And, you got your boys right there watching you, and you think you go in the first round, and you don't go in the first round. And then I go late second round. So they even passed me up in the second round. So it was difficult, but I look back on it. It was difficult because I understood that second-round contracts was not guaranteed.
Right. Yes, it's different now than back then.
Yeah, a lot of times now, kids get at least a partial guarantee in the second round. But back then, you didn't see. It's like, man, I'm going. I don't want to go to France. I don't want to go to Italy.
Exactly.
I mean, you think that way. And I luckily got drafted by Dallas and was in a really good situation. Even though they had too many contracts, they released me. Because that was the lockout year, they couldn't move some of those contracts, so they released me, but with a promise that they was bringing me back that summer. And they invested a lot of time in me. So I was lucky to get drafted late, but go to a perfect situation for me.
What kind of fire does that put in you in terms of being a competitor, and how much did that have an impact on the rest of your
None,
career?
Really.
None?
I hate losing. Yeah. So I hate losing, so it doesn't matter. I mean, if I'd have won number one or didn't get drafted, I was going to go over there with a chip on my shoulder and try to prove that I had – actually proved that I wanted to be on the court. And then once I got on the court, I wanted to help the team win.
Yeah.
I mean, people got opinions of you all the time. I mean, you can't, run around and be salty about that, especially
that
as a young kid. Yeah.
How high do you put Utah now? And obviously so many things to play out in the West,
right.
But with Mike, and he got great regard, how high does it put Utah now? Where would you put them? In a wide-open West.
I think it's a wide-open West. I think Houston's going to be in just the system. I mean, they'll be a top four seed because of the system. People can't figure that system out in the regular season.
And you think Chris and Harden will work all
that out? I think that's
been around them both, right?
Yeah, I think it's all fluff. I think it's me to blowing things out of proportion. Those two guys, two highly competitive kids, and when they get out there, they're going out there to cut your neck open.
Right.
Yeah. I think Portland's going to be pretty good. I think L.A. obviously is going to be good, and it's depending on what they can do with the back end of that roster. Clippers should be good. Doc finds a way to get the most out of those guys.
Every time.
And Utah, I mean, coach is a pretty good coach. I'm just not sure it's sold on that style right now in the NBA. I mean, you got to find a way to score points. Mike will help that because Rubio wasn't a scoring point guard. Mike will help that, but you
got
to figure out a way.
They got exposed.
It's kind of like a 2019 grit and grind.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it really kind of is.
Yeah, it really is.
Does he fix that necessarily? It sounds like you still got some concerns with him.
I don't know if Mike fixed that.
Style of play.
Yeah, I don't know if he fixed that. Because, I mean, the young boy Mitchell, he still has to have the ball in his hand.
No doubt.
And he wants to play slow sometimes. And I don't know how many shooters they got around that can create shots. You know, now in the NBA, they got bigs that can make threes. They don't really have bigs that can make threes to make up when, you know, a defensive guard gets in those guards' tails and stops a three-pointer. They don't have pick-and-pop guys.
Yeah, we are, of course, talking to a former NBA player, former Memphis Grizzlies assistant coach, Greg Buckner, here on site, Jason and John at the Wing Guru. You've been a coach. You've been a player. So you've come in with rookies. You play with rookies, and you coach rookies. How different are today's rookies compared to when you were in the league?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I mean, it's completely different because you know how now – in the real world, you can't spank your kids because the neighbor's going to turn you in.
Man, yeah.
It's like now, like with the young boys, like me, myself, I had to carry bags all the time. I had to pack the plane in Minnesota in December.
My.
Yeah, you had to do all those things. And that, you know, grew you up and made you appreciate the game of basketball and appreciate what you got to do once your rookie year was over with.
No
These
doubt.
Guys don't get to do that. I mean, we got so many guys that touch bags now that are not players. We got so many guys that, you know, almost washed their feet. You know what I mean? Just so they got it made. I mean, and the guys in the past have, you know, laid the foundation to make sure these guys got it made. But, I mean, it's completely different because they don't have to do some of the grunt work that we had to do as rookies.
No doubt.
To make you appreciate the game.
Did they ever put like popcorn in your car?
No.
You avoided that one.
but they treated me like a rook. They really did. And and now I mean front offices and management and ownership, they're not sure if rookies can handle that. So, you know, the quote-unquote rookie hazing that we had to go through, the management front office won't allow
I was
that.
Thinking about this last night, man. I think we live in a society now where these kids get gassed up. Mm-hmm. Like, all the time. Like, they put a post on Instagram, all the comments are like, GOAT, best. I mean, and they haven't even done anything in the NBA yet. They're just, like, so I think it's so much different now, whereas, like you said, like, the rookies are almost treated, and the young guys are treated like they're put on pedestals, whereas you had to kind of earn your stripes back in the day.
Right, you're 100% right. That now, the kids are so different, like you said. Some of these kids can't function with criticism.
No doubt.
I mean, you see guys get on the internet, And may fuss with me because if I'm in the media and I say something, they got to fuss with me. But back in the day, it's like, okay, whatever. I mean, you didn't have the internet, so nobody's, you know, side killing you. They say it in your face, and you know, most people say, okay, you're right. But nowadays, you know, kids need to be patted on their back more than they need to be fussed at and criticized. And unfortunately, some guys, you know, as far as old school guys, don't like it.
No doubt.
Maybe that, I mean, this strikes me in this conversation, something that T. Morant, Ja's father, had said about, and John's been talking about this. Ja'd go out on Twitter, hey, look at this dunk, and his father would retweet, hey, overrated on top of it. More in the sense that he already knows he's going to be out on Twitter, and you're going to have folks coming at you anyway, but maybe that's in this day and age, maybe that's, we looked at it as, man, that's pretty hard on a kid, but maybe in this day and age, that's the way you got to be.
Especially in the
social media age.
Yeah, it's definitely
hard.
Bring them
all back down.
Yeah, it's definitely the truth. I mean, if Pops thinks it's overrated, why can't Pop say that? I mean, it's, you know, people are critical. Yeah. Like, I tell my son all the time, like, I worked him out today, and he came, and I got my nephew in town from Dallas, and they was working out, and he's talking about, I'm the best shooter in the car. I was like, yeah, right. And then he's like, I'm the only one that will be able to do a windmill. I said, hey, I was doing windmills all the time.
And I'm out.
Right, and I called my brother, because my brother loved my windmill, and he's like, oh, that was the best windmill I ever seen. And he's like, you can windmill? But I had to knock him down. I'm not going to sit here and just prop him up and think
Thad
that he's –
was saying the same thing.
Yeah, think he's
you
sliced
NBA guys,
yeah.
Y'all going to knock these guys. Yeah. You have to.
You right? got to. You yeah. got to. I mean, you got to understand it, because for the most part, you're going to be playing against guys who – well, everybody who's trying to feed their families, and they're not going to prop you up. They're going to knock you down. Yeah, they're going to hum you quickly. Either they're trying to continue their journey of getting better and getting more money, or they're trying to win championships.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys in that locker room don't have time to be waiting on – you thinking you sliced bread when we've already been through it.
Is there a guy, I don't know, I mean, obviously so much of this roster still has to play out, but you know so much of this roster already. Is there a vet in there you see that becomes that guy for all these young players, you know, that you go to? I mean, obviously there's still much to play out with the roster, but is there?
Yeah, I mean,
who becomes that guy in this now?
Chandler is now the longest tenure.
Chandler, bro.
Yeah, and it's probably, you know, the way they – wanted to force Chandler out last year. I'm not sure he's going to be around. You know what I mean? I think Avery Bradley could, but his contract
exactly.
is one of
like
those.
He might not be.
Yeah, he might not be. I think Kyle Korver would, but his contract is shaky.
Exactly.
Now, Kyle Korver was my rook, so, he's groomed well. I got him
wow.
right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but so those two guys could be. Now, Val, if they bring Val back, he could be. But you just never know what's going to happen with the roster. Right. Right now, today, you got those two guys, and then maybe a Jay Crowder because he's, you know, been deep in the playoffs.
They CJ's been around.
CJ's been around, yeah.
He opted in before he even had to.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's a big money, big number he got. Because CJ's a quiet kid. He really is a quiet kid.
Is he quiet?
Yeah, he's a quiet kid. He's never been forced to be a leader on a team. He'll come and say something to a young guy. So that'd be new to him. But, you know, somebody's going to have to step up. But also, you know, Memphis is probably rebuilding, and they may get rid of all those guys.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, when you look at what does it look like the Grizzlies are doing when you sort of survey their roster and sort of does it feel like to you they're embracing that? They put it off for such a long time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you put it off. You got four guys, meaning the core four back in the day. You got them for a while, and they're going to keep you in a lot of seasons. But you get rid of those four, it's almost impossible to say you're not – you'll be lying to us if you say you're not rebuilding.
Absolutely.
Get rid of those guys. So they got to be rebuilding and going with a young point guard, going with young Jaren Jackson, some of those other young guys over there in that locker room. So they got to be rebuilding and moving some of these veterans around, maybe try to get some cap space. Or some picks, more importantly, some young picks to go around with this young nucleus.
Not saying it's going to mean anything for his career, but we knew nothing about Taylor Jenkins before he got the job. Did you know about him already, the head guy for the Grizzlies now?
No, I didn't know much of him. No, I hadn't spoke to a guy, to Coach Jenkins at all. So, no, I didn't know him. And you know, I kind of know most people and know most people's faces in the NBA, but I did not know him.
We thought that Darvin Ham was the guy on that staff that was up next.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there were others as well. But
yeah, I was surprised because D. Ham, he's like a big brother to me, and he's been around, his name has been around. And and I think D. Ham would be an excellent coach, and I thought he'd be, if he was somebody that you would consider, Memphis definitely would be a place where he could build the culture and do things the right way. But obviously – Coach Jenkins had success up in Milwaukee this past year, and you know when your team has success, you're the hot flavor of the month, meaning your assistant coaches, and sometimes they go off the radar and get one of those guys off the bench that nobody expected.
Before we get you out of here, Greg, we gotta get you. Now your wings are almost ready.
I got all day, bro.
The lessons, like, what's the most important lesson that any rookie going to their team tonight, first round, second round, like, what's the most important lesson they're gonna learn, you know, in their first year?
The most humbling lesson you're going to learn is that everybody in this league can play.
Humility.
Yeah. Everybody can play. I mean, you're going to get to summer league, and some kid that's been overseas who was either too small or a little overweight at the time when he came out of college, he went and refined his game. He's going to get 25 on him in summer league, and then he's going to come back in training camp. They're going to bring somebody in who's that they expect to cut, but is going to bust his tail in training camp. And then they're going to say, you know what, I got to continue to work. I've made it to the NBA, but I have not made it where I want to be.
Exactly.
Funny story, Jaren Jackson told us at the end of the year, he was calling this guy, I can't remember this guy's name, that got drafted by Charlotte, that played with him in college, the left-handed kid.
Oh, Bridges.
Bridges. He said he was doing training camp last year. He was talking to Bridges, and Bridges was like, man, I'm killing these folks. And he was like, he's got to be lying because I'm barely making it. You know, and Jaren Jackson's going to be a stud. You know,
absolutely.
If he's killing him, I don't need to be in the NBA. I should have stayed in college. And then, you know, finally he figured out, you know, his niche. He started rebounding. He started, you know what, forget this jump shot. I'm going to go post these guys up. I can post these guys up. And he blossomed from there. But these guys just don't understand that it's going to be ups and downs in that rookie year. Throughout your NBA career, to be honest with you.
It's always going to happen.
Yeah.
Is there a guy outside of Zion, Ja, and RJ, who we know you love, mm-hmm. is there a guy outside of those three that you in this draft that you absolutely love?
Not that I absolutely love. I think
that's
the kid
falls off.
Yeah, I think the kid from Texas Tech got a chance to be
Culver.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
Culver to be pretty good. And I think if Cam Reddish gets into the right situation,
I agree with you.
I think he has a chance to be a lot better than what people are. He's going to overplay, his draft position if he gets in the right situation. And he also could be a flop. People talk about he doesn't have a high motor.
Yeah.
And he's kind of low key, and you know that can strike you in the wrong way in the NBA.
Yeah, he takes nights off.
Yeah.
Like there'll be games where he's just absolutely dominant physically, and then there'll be nights where you don't even notice.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen at a Duke in Kentucky unless you're Zion, unless you're RJ. I think RJ is such an alpha dog personality that's what made him this year not have drop-offs when you got a Zion Williams. Cam is one of those guys that he needs other guys to get him the shot. He can't really go I don't think, and create his own shot. He needs other people to get him involved, and sometimes those other people forget about you.
Yeah, hey, real quick, if Ja Morant is the selection tonight, that seems to be every indication that he'll be the selection number two for the Grizzlies. He had an operation on his knee. They called it minor.
Yeah. Loose body.
Loose body. He says he'll be ready to play for Summer League. If you're the Grizzlies, do you risk that?
Yeah.
Oh, you put him out there?
Hell, absolutely.
Yeah. Really?
I mean, we all got loose particles in our knees, bro. Everybody has loose particles. It's just part. I mean, some guy, they just caught his and they cleaned it up. So I think he'd be okay. Yeah, I mean, he got to get. I mean, the sooner you get out there and get the, you know, against other pros, the pro officials, the NBA rules, the better. It's only going to make him better. Now, if his knee is swollen up and he can't play, but I at least get him out there 4 or 5 games and let him get a taste of that.
Right.
You know, this holding guys back, you know. To me, I don't agree with.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Your wings just got here, so we're going to let you get after
brother,
those,
man. Brother, man, appreciate you coming
out.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Appreciate it. He is Greg Buckner, a former NBA player, former Memphis Grizzlies assistant coach. We'll come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The 92.9 line with breaking news and info at 92.9ESPN.com. Listen to 92.9 online. Join the locker room and get exclusive content and prizes, too, at 92.9ESPN.com. 92.9 FM, ESPN. Memphis's radio.com sports station. Instagram.com/92.9ESPN. Get us on Facebook. Facebook.com/92.9ESPN. Hoop Cities. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, this is John Martin. I'm back to tell you about my favorite spot in Memphis, the Blue Monkey. In case you've forgotten, and you shouldn't forget, they have great burgers, some of the best in Memphis, especially the barbecue bacon burger with black Angus meat topped with melted cheddar cheese, crisp bacon, and tangy barbecue sauce. And also, don't forget Steak Night every Tuesday at the downtown location and Thursday at the Midtown location. They offer a 7 or 10 ounce filet or 12 ounce and 16 ounce prime rib that is slow roasted and just plain awesome. On Steak Night, they also feature a choice of salad and a side. They got house-made ranch dressing and the twice-baked potato. I recommend both. They got two locations, 513 South Front Street downtown at 2012 Madison Avenue in Midtown, and find them on the web at BlueMonkeyMemphis.com.
Live team trivia and karaoke every Wednesday and Thursday. Bring a team and win some green. Live music at the Blue Monkey Midtown on Friday night, Jack Royal and the Royal Blues Band. On Saturday, Grape.
With IKEA, you can send your kids off to college with a new Alex desk, setting them up for any scenario. Like when the cafes are full, it'll be their quiet haven. Or after heated debates, it'll be a place to cool down. Or when they don't answer their phone, it's probably just under all those books. Call me.
Get 20% off all desks. Offer valid for IKEA family members in U.S. stores only from June 5th through 23rd. While supplies last. Visit your IKEA store or IKEA-USA.com for details. IKEA, make the dream yours.
JJ Hottail here. As an ex-professional race car driver, I'm used to taking risks, which isn't always so good when it comes to driving off the track.
Uh-oh.
But that's why I'm insured by Direct Auto and Life Insurance. I can get a great rate regardless of my driving history. They understand that nobody's perfect. Hello, officer. Save up to 25% with discounts at Direct Auto. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT or visit directgeneral.com today.
Direct General Group, Nashville. Rates vary. Discounts subject to limitations, terms, and conditions. How you buy impacts cost.
Hey guys, time to get ready for summer. Now, if you've done your part at the gym, it's time to let University Plastic Surgery Group help you with that little extra push. It's called Cool Sculpting. You can freeze away the fat with the world's number one non-invasive fat reduction procedure. University Plastic Surgery Group can help you achieve your workout goals because they're going to target the trouble areas. It's a 45 to 60 minute procedure. You can do it on your lunch hour. Keep your edge at work and look good this summer. Call 350-4858 or visit utuniversityplasticsurgeons.com today.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%. APR, 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. 8.88% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Jason and John are broadcasting live today from the Wing Guru at 7199 Stage Road in Bartlett till 2 p.m.
All right, so our man Lewis, he wanted to sell his home, or at least he was considering selling his home. And he got with the Live Love Memphis team. They consulted. Ultimately, they made the decision that it was best for Lewis to sell his home. That's exactly what he did. They listed on a Monday. It was sold on a Tuesday. That's the magic. They can work for you.
It's really just hard work. They did it for me, too. Got mine sold in 6 days. I thought I'd never be able to sell it. Jennifer Carstensen and the crew over at Live Love, they proved me wrong. And I'm thankful forever to them for it. Go check them out. They're livelovememphis.com. The phone number is 901-685-6000. Again, 685-6000. That Stevie Wonder was ringing, John Martin. It is pleasant now. Yeah, give them a call. It's the Live Love Memphis group. If you've you've got a house that's been on the market this June, you know, more weeks, months, you're with the wrong group. Get with the right one. The Live Love Memphis group. They're at livelovememphis.com.
We are out at the Wing Guru, 7199 Stage Row. We will be here until 2 o'clock. Place is
appreciate
absolutely slammed. You know, I want to kind of go back to I was driving on the interstate last night, Jason. I was on I-40 eastbound. Okay,
I hope you didn't hit anything.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I was hit in that instance. I was struck. So,
okay.
We want to make that very clear.
Sometimes we can be struck and still get the ticket.
Well, I did for other reasons.
The system's wrong. I agree.
I think the system is unfair.
It hurt the white man in this instance.
People who look like me.
Concentrate.
But anyway, I was thinking about this on the way home last night. And you see it. Like, if you follow, like, draft picks, right? Like potential draft picks or rookies on Instagram, especially on Instagram, honestly. Mm-mm. Like we live in a culture now where it is without fail, every caption is GOAT, best of all time.
This is true.
Legend. Yeah. You know, whatever words you want to use. Mm-hmm. And I think it's especially interesting that you know, sort of Greg said what he said with us about how, like, the culture is so different now where when you come in as a rookie and you're almost like you're anointed, you know what I'm saying, without even ever having to earn anything.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying we have to be, you know, I'm not saying that we have to be, you know, there has to be negative energy. I'm not saying that. I think positivity and lifting people up is in a vacuum a good thing. But I think it's excessive. In 2019, like I think we live in an excessively gas up society, and I'd like for it to change.
Number one, I'm rolling my eyes a little bit because I blame you for this problem. It's you millennials that go out and you've put us in this space.
How have I haven't
you put
done
us
a damn
in
thing.
That rank thing? What's the best ever? And quite frankly, I'm just going to be real honest with you. In terms of these kids, you haven't lived long enough in terms of what things you've seen to call it the best ever. But to your point, in this social media age we're in,
yeah,
and we have a tendency to go to that. Now, let's go to the point that he was making. These kids come to the NBA now, they feel like they've got a brand already. Some of them do. Zion Williamson certainly has that already.
Yep.
But many of them, because of you're in your individual world, you can build up so many followers beforehand. John, they got the feeling that they're worldly already by
exactly.
the time they get there.
No, that's
and
true.
So they feel like there's a brand. Now, do you blame the kid or do you blame the parents? Here's the key. We talked to one this week that's doing his way to fight that. He goes out on Twitter when his kid's getting too big-headed, and John Morant, T. Morant I'm talking about, and he says, we joked about it. We've joked about it a lot. But he goes on there to bring him back down, overrated. That's the way you battle this.
Yeah.
Talked about it with Thad Young yesterday.
Yeah.
Going to be crazy hard on his kids because, of course, the NBA guys know what it takes. Greg Buckner, same way. The same way he's going to be with his kid and with his son and with his nephew.
Yeah.
That is the way to sort of combat this. But you're absolutely right, John. We're here at this point, and it's because of you. It's because of you,
no,
brother.
No, no,
it's because
no.
of your
yeah,
generation.
You
it absolutely
know, you
is.
You want to know what it really is?
Look at you yesterday on the trade. Your immediate, because it was great, you wanted to kill it.
We had to pull back. I didn't love it.
Well, obviously.
That was my immediate reaction. I did not love it.
We had to pull back and take a look at it. But again, there's that sort of that want to jump to. We talked about this with Clay Travis. That sort of want to jump to a judgment. He's the best ever. Know it's going to be a bust, one or the other, as opposed to, man, you know, wait and see. Let's wait and see.
You know who I'm going to blame for this?
So you're part of the issue, John.
No,
you need to look at yourself and in the mirror.
I'm typically not the guy that does this. I'm typically never.
You've gotten better.
Because it's going to sound I'm going to sound like a curmudgeon when I say this. But I blame AAU basketball.
Dude, what are you talking about?
Because these guys tell these players whatever they want to hear to keep them on their team. 99% of the time, they will say, "Oh, you're 6'9". You want to play point guard? Come on, come play point guard. You're the best point guard we've ever seen." You know, they tell them what they, because these kids can't handle it. And at the first sight of any criticism, they'll just jump. They'll just leave that team and they'll go to somebody else.
Now you're hitting on my point. You want to blame this on AAU when we know how many good people are getting it done there, and a lot of times they get a bad rap. Blame it on the parents that are changing as soon as a kid gets coached in AAU, that are changing teams and flipping
that
teams
are letting them do it.
And not teaching a kid, their son, right, to go through it, to get through all that, right? Because like we talked about with Greg Buckner, that's what builds you up. Instead, no, it's the easiest route possible these parents. John, I blame the parents more than I do on AAU. Frankly, I think we know AAU. Thad, Mike Miller, we know those dudes want to do it for the kids,
course,
right? The right
absolutely.
Reasons. And Norton Hurd is teaching kids. We know good characters in AAU, you know what I'm saying? They're doing good things for kids. So I think I think it's lazy just to blame it all on AAU when half the time, dude, it's the parents doing more gassing up than these AAU coaches
are
doing.
That's true.
I mean, our parents have lost their minds in this day. I'm joking around, blaming on millennials.
Yeah,
a lot of times it's us, John. We've lost our minds.
There are some parents who are awful when it comes to things like that.
No question about it.
It gets fight or flight, and usually the choice is flight, right?
Correct, in this day and age.
It is hard for AAU coaches to keep it too real. I will say that.
That's how you build thin
high school coaches
skin.
As well. You know, because kids will just transfer from that school.
That's
too.
How you build thin-skinned prospects, John.
Right.
First time they get ate up on a practice floor in a game, coach gets on them, they feel like, oh, no, this ain't the place for me. They're
Absolutely.
Doing me wrong.
Absolutely.
And that goes back, I would say, to us as parents right now in this day and age, more so than just putting it on the AAU.
There's a larger conversation to be had.
You hit on something here.
But, I think Ja, for example, who's going to be the newest Memphis Grizzly after tonight, it sounds like, I think his sort of path is fantastic.
It's perfect.
Yes, because he was overlooked as a high school player, went to Murray State completely under the radar. You know, his dad pushed him the whole way, called him overrated on Twitter.
For a purpose, though.
Absolutely.
It's not a joke. Yeah,
absolutely.
Literally for a purpose.
So I like
that. To keep his guy humble.
I'm a fan of that.
Me too.
You know?
I think the Grizzlies are lucking up in that sense, that you're getting that guy as opposed to someone else. And I'm not going to put it on a player right, but there are other players in this draft probably already think they're there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, how many number two picks come in hungry? You know what I mean?
Guys who didn't, whose college recruitments didn't go the way they perhaps foresaw, had to go a different route. Guys who had to lift up, non-blue blood division. Those guys have
Absolutely.
To do it. The guys who had to, and we've talked about it. Others have made the point. Ja's got that sort of Memphis story that he's had to, prove it for a while. Didn't have it come easy to him. That's sort of why John and I have fallen in love. You add that to the player that he is, what it allowed you to do with Mike Conley. Man, it would be, I'd be shocked if it's anything else. I'd be ready to go. Do something crazy, John.
I mean, I'm going.
Don't overthink this at 2 tonight.
I'm be honest. I'm protesting Frazier if they draft anybody other than John.
No, Moran. don't go Frazier, brother. I don't think they want to see you.
Okay, I can't. Bennett's giving me the finger wag. We're not protesting Frazier.
No, we're not going to
Frazier.
We're going to
protest in Carriage Crossing. Is that safe? Can we do it there?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Frazier, goodness.
Bennett says we can go. I'm just saying, in terms of the protest, he says we could do it at Carriage Crossing.
No.
That's what Bennett said.
Do it in your backyard with that chicken.
I'm protesting somewhere.
We have to come to work with signs tomorrow if they don't take John Moran. I mean, we got to do something.
Do it in your yard.
Protesting is not. There's nothing wrong. It is a.
Sound like you ready to go, Darius Garland? There, BC.
It is a birthright as an American to be able to protest.
No, you'll be on social media. That'll be your protest.
No. That's because I'm a millennial. I won't take it to the streets.
Brad jumped in on this millennial.
I will take it to the streets. Believe you me, I will protest all night.
I
will protest.
Oh, they don't take job. I'm gonna have a sign at work. I don't know how many people are gonna read it, but I'm gonna have a sign in the studio.
I'll bring a sign to work with you. I'll be there with you at work.
I will go on a hunger strike at the Bluff for 3 days if they don't draft John Morant. So you're gonna have to call me. From the Bluff tomorrow.
I want you to call Vessi tonight after they take John Morant and you tell that man he don't know what he's talking about.
That tweet was crazy.
I mean, you know how I don't like to call Peter Bexley because every time I call him, he asks me if I'm subscribed to his Patreon, and I always have to lie to him.
You still don't.
I don't. Why the hell would I subscribe to his Patreon? With
well,
all
he comes on your show, John.
He's come on twice, right. And every time he's like, "You didn't read my piece on Patreon, did you?" Yeah, I did, actually.
So true.
And then he asked
you
me,
have to, you're forced to.
And then he asked me, "What'd it say?" I'm like, "I don't know,
you're
man."
Live radio
quiz. Yeah,
it's
Bessie, old vet, gonna challenge the millennial.
It's like a college professor, like, quizzing my ass. You know, man.
You
I'm sorry,
read
I didn't read it. I don't remember anyway.
Peter,
love Bessie.
Yeah, I'm not texting.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.